Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. Before we start today's episode, we would like to give a very big thank you to our Patreons that have joined this week. We have Heather,
PB,
and Tamsin.
Wow. You guys are our new favourite people. We love you. Here's a little kiss from me. Mwah! You're welcome. Is that appropriate? I don't know if that's appropriate. Oh, dear. I actually feel that that's now become quite predatory. Let's edit that out.
Unless you want that. Do you want that? No, I'm kidding.
That's not actually even on the Patreon list, is it? But we've just offered that up. Let's add that on, actually, Leanne. Put that on. An air kiss from Jen.
As a bonus content.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Maureen's trying not to be sick in her own mouth. Okay, good.
So how's your week been, Jen?
It's been a roller coaster ride of vertigo.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. No, I haven't been that well, but it's fine. I don't like to moan, do I? I like to take it on the chin.
No, very rarely.
I'm always very rarely in a bad mood anyway. So this has obviously not affected my moods at all. I've been horizontal for the last 72 hours, which you'd think, having two children, that might be quite nice. But unfortunately, when the world is spinning constantly, it's actually not that nice. It's actually quite unpleasant. For anyone who has experienced vertigo, it's a bit like going on a ride. What's that ride on when you go to the fairground? It's really awful. Is it the Wall of Death? No, that's not it. The one where you stand and it goes round and round and round.
The Gravitron?
Is it called a Gravitron in Canada? I don't know what we call it. We call it the throw-up-a-thon. Anyway, it is. When you get off that and the world is spinning and you can't stand up and you feel really awful and nauseous and you think, oh, I can't wait for this to stop spinning. Well, imagine that for 72 hours. And then that has been my experience. But, you know, the flip side of that has been I've listened to a lot of audiobooks and podcasts and fallen asleep through most of them. So haven't really. I've been listening to Carrie Fisher's Wishful Drinking on Audible because I love Carrie Fisher. And it's great. It's really great. But I did sleep through about four chapters. So I'm going to have to go back. But I can recommend that as an audiobook. If anyone's got a spare credit on Audible, you're welcome for that recommendation. But other than that, life has been as sedentary and as dull as it always is during lockdown. I've got nothing to report. How about you kids? Come on, fill me with some love.
Well, Jen, because you were ill, you missed our new material night.
I was really gutted about that, actually, because I had, even though I said I didn't have any material, I had at least 3 or 4 minutes that I could have maybe stretched, that I could have stretched out to 4.5.
Well, you're ready for next month.
Well.
Yeah, next month, by the way, is 3rd of May, if anyone wants to jot it down in the diary. 3rd of May is the next show.
I'd love that we're doing this because people in the future, this is not information, they don't care about this. But people in the present, this is obviously very pertinent to you. But if you've just discovered this podcast 3 to 4 years ahead and you're like, wow, I love WTB, and then we keep wagging on about this new material like that happened 3 years ago, it's less interesting.
Well, their own fault, they should have listened earlier.
Maureen, you are absolutely correct, as always. Mm-hmm. On the money.
But Jen, you missed out. I actually did, because normally when I say I do new material, it's kind of newish, as we know. It's not really new. But I did actually 10 minutes of new, as Alison can testify, 100%. 10 minutes of new material. New material. And you weren't there.
I know. Well, I was gutted. I was, by that point, trying not to throw up into a bin. But I was gutted not to be there. And I will be there in May. Nothing will stop me. Apart from maybe another bout of vertigo. If that comes back, then obviously I won't be there. I won't be there for that. What about you, Alison? How's your week been?
Well, this week, what was the first time we had some friends around in the garden. So that was really nice. We had our outside meeting up with a couple. And we hadn't seen this couple since lockdown number one, everyone. So it was like a full year of like, hello again. Yeah, yeah. So that was, it was nice. It was nice to be outside with friends and, you know, forget for a couple hours and be sort of normal. It was lovely. And we did up the backyard. We got out the jet wash. Oh my God, guys. It was a very exciting garden week.
Sorry, Alison, did I ask you, did you do it day or night?
We did day going into evening.
You kept it going. Did you have like a little fire thing going?
No, I just gave everyone blankets. So I'm trying to like hoard nice blankets. So I was like, here's a blanket, everyone. And everyone was a little drunk by that point. So the cold, you know, we're all pushing past.
Yeah, you're warm from the inside out. I hear you. I can highly recommend buying a fire pit.
I have been looking all over.
Get yourself a fire pit. That way you can sit outside. Yeah, for a lot longer.
Yes.
And obviously, you smell like a bonfire when you go back in. But it's something that's really nice. You can sit outside and have your glass of wine and sit around the fire pit.
Make s'mores.
Make s'mores.
Do you guys know what s'mores are?
Of course I do. It's a s'morey biscuit thingy with a bit of marshmallow toasted in between another s'morey biscuity thing, and you smash it into your face.
With chocolate as well. We put a little chocolate in there. So it's chocolate, marshmallow, and then we say graham crackers. You hear what it would be. Graham crackers are like a digestive biscuit here.
Yeah.
That's the closest I've found. So it's like digestive biscuit, marshmallow, chocolate, and you put it on a thing and you melt it, and they're called s'mores.
And you want s'more and s'more of them.
You do want s'more and s'more of them, Jen.
Maureen's not. Look at her face.
She's like, are you kidding me?
Absolutely Easter Island head, completely deadpan. What's the matter with you? Get on the s'mores train, Maureen.
She's never had one, though, so she doesn't know.
Well, I did. I went round to a friend's house and we did an evening outside and drank way too much, which may have also contributed to my vertigo bout, but let's not dwell on that. And they had a fire pit. And Chloe and I have been talking about getting a fire pit for about 3 years. And again, I saw them with a fire pit and went, we must get one. Let's see if we do. Let's see if I actually ever get around to getting one. Maybe not, but they do look good and I want one. And they're easy. You just stick a bit of wood in there, apparently. Set it alight. How hard can it be? Come on.
You've got a very small garden and with a big shed in it, so that could be quite interesting.
Maureen, you don't set your shed on fire. Don't use your shed as firewood. Okay, so away from the shed if you want to. Sit around with some blankets on your lap. And a glass of, in your case, pina colada or cherryade and
Baileys
or whatever it is you drink. and have a lovely evening with Maureen. Okay, it's hard to, you can't sell it to everyone, Alison, this fire pit thing.
I know. It's funny you're talking about it, though, because I have a million on my Amazon. Like, I always put things on the Amazon list and then I just put it in save for later. So I have like 12 different fire pits that I keep looking at. Like,
get
I'm going to
get one. Because if then when you have friends over, you can just have the. And I bet you've got fairy lights outside, have you?
Of course
you
do.
Of course you do. And then you've got all the fairy light that you've got. Your garden is lit, and then a little fire pit in the middle where you all sit around. I want you to know that I'm not being sponsored by Fire Pits TM, wherever they are.
But if there is a company that would like to sponsor us, we would all very much like a fire pit. We got to find a fire pit sponsor.
Wow.
Chiminea.
We got a chiminea. Let me tell you, it's so rusty that if we put any wood in it, I think it would explode. I think the fumes from that chiminea may kill us. This is the longest I've ever spoken about fire pit before.
Fire pits, I didn't know you were so passionate.
I think it's great that we've chosen to do it on this podcast. Hello? Anyone there? Hello. Okay.
Maureen, how was your week?
Yes, Maureen.
Oh, I met up with a friend of mine who's a DJ. We hadn't met for ages because he knows I'm a bit down. He said, let's meet up and we'll go out. And the first thing I said to him is, oh, how is Heart FM treating you? And he went, my show's on Virgin.
So there we go.
Absolute That's how Heart's classic. Treating him.
So he went, so you haven't been listening then, have you? And I was like, no.
Big fan. Big fan of your work on Heart FM.
Could you imagine if I'd said that? I've been listening every week. I love Heart FM. Could you imagine if I'd done that?
I mean, how could you backtrack? It'd be really tricky.
He took it well.
He took it well. Did he still pay for lunch? No.
Yeah, he did actually. And because, you know, I'm on a health kick, he offered to buy me churros y chocolate, which I love. And I said no.
Maureen.
I said no to free food.
Maureen, I don't think people listening to this understand how big a sacrifice that must have been for you. I am well
churros
proud.
Churros y chocolate. I mean,
churros y chocolate. Yum. Yummers
yum,
and the scrummers.
Yum.
I do love churros y chocolate. In Spain, they don't put cinnamon on it, on the churros. But if you go to like a restaurant here, they tend to. And I think that's because they do it in Mexico. In Central America, they put cinnamon and sugar.
Really?
And it's all. But if you go to Spain, it's just the churros are plain and then you dip them in the chocolate.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's a. But that's what my grandmother used to buy me. And a portion of churros is massive. And I remember being about seven and my grandmother bought me this big bag of churros chocolate. And I felt like I had to eat all of it. And anyway, I threw up. So I have a mixed feelings about churros y chocolate. In principle, I like them, but there's still a memory from 40 odd years ago where I think, oh, will I chunder if I eat this?
But you know, the combination of chocolate, churros y chocolate, and then it being free, me not having to pay for it, that is quite a big resistance thing on my part.
That is the most sexual of all combinations.
Free chocolate is very sexually.
Not only is it one of your favourite puddings, but it is FOC. Maureen, well done. How is the healthy... Oh, are we allowed to talk about the healthy eating? Can we talk about that? Because we did... I mean, David got on the old Facebook to say, oh... Here we are saying that we're not talking about diets and the whole episode was about healthy
but
eating.
It's not really about diets. It's about eating healthily, isn't it? Which, as a side result, you lose weight. So, I mean,
yes.
It's all about
It's not
healthy.
About a diet, is it? Because diets are all about, oh, just eat cabbage for 6 months.
Yeah.
No, this is about changing your lifestyle.
Yeah. We've done no calorie talk, nothing like that. This is not
a
diet.
Yeah, David. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have lost weight. I don't want to boast, but I've lost 5 pounds in a week.
Maureen! Makes it easier to say no to the churros, doesn't it? You're like, oh my God.
That's incredible considering. And now let's move directly over. Right. This is how seamless we are in this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now let's move over to our Maureen moment of the Be More. It's Be More Maureen.
I'm going to close my internet.
Don't close your internet, Maureen.
I meant my email.
Maureen switches it off at the wall.
Put any makeup on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Maureen, it's a podcast. Get a grip. We might have to push your boundaries out of it, okay?
Well, I kind of wish I hadn't told the girls because when we have a discussion before this, you'll be surprised. We do prepare the show. And Jen put her head in her hands and just shook her head for about a minute when I told her this. So my Be More moment was I kept going on about the food. The food is very nice generally. I like most of the recipes. And I went, you know what? It's really, really filling. I said, the thing about it is I don't want to snack because the food is so filling. It just, you know, I'm just so full. And then I realised that I hadn't really looked at the menus properly. And the recipes, and I didn't look at the bit where it says serves two people or serves four people. I just thought it served one person. Ooh. So in some cases, I was eating a meal for four people.
Maureen was going, I tell you what, sometimes I cannot even finish the portion sizes. And I was like, well, this is great, Maureen, that they've, maybe the food that they've, that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know,
filling
carbohydrates or filling.
It.
Maybe it's just the very filling and they've done that deliberately to help you. Anyway, it turns out Maureen's been eating for four. What I find incredible is that even though you've been eating before between two to four people,
but
you still
lost
5 pounds. It's insanity.
But you know, if you eat a salad, if it's for one person or four persons, I suppose it doesn't make that much difference, does it?
No, that's true. That is true. But butter chicken, that threw me.
Oh, no, that was for two people.
Butter chicken for two people and you still lost 5 pounds. I was like, I was confused by that, if I'm honest. well, but I kind of did believe it. I told Chloe, I said, Warren's been eating before and she's still lost weight. She's like, how? I was like, Chloe was like, what the hell was she eating before? I was like, let's not go into that.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm kind of, now that I'm aware, but I'm kind of ignoring it in certain recipes that it's meant to be.
To be honest, Maureen, I cooked, listen, you know when I look at recipes that say feeds four and I'm like, what, four flipping two-year-old children or something?
Smurfs.
Four Smurfs. Yeah, I frequently, listen, I cooked a meal. I tell you what's happened with the vertigo, which is very weird considering I'm spinning and that should create nausea. I have been so hungry. I cooked a meal for four and I ate a meal for three last night. So I'm going to get off my high horse right now. To be honest, it was basically aubergines. But the point is, I ate a lot of aubergines last night. I don't know if that's, what is that?
That's a lot of fibre. You got a lot of fibre in you right now. Yeah.
That explains this morning. Look.
You might be sitting for the next 72 hours now is what's going to happen.
I'm on board is what I'm saying. And I love that you're eating healthily. It makes me very happy. And also that even though you are doing exercise in flip-flops, weirdly, inexplicably.
Oh, yeah. I did mention that bit. I did 16,000 steps in flip-flops. Not to
Maureen,
be recommended.
Maureen, I want
to
smack you from this distance. Your poor
so
arches.
Bad for your feet. Yeah, my podiatrist is turning in his grave. I mean, he's not even dead.
But
he's not even a man. He's a woman. I don't even know why I said that. Oh, God. So about internalised misogyny. Maureen, for heaven's sake, anyone that knows anything about feet, and let me tell you, I do, because I wear orthotic insoles. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, will tell you that walking in flip-flops is terrible for your metatarsals and for your arches. Am I right, Alison? Mm-hmm.
My arches are crying for you right now. The moment you said that, my heel spur, my arches, everything just went, no, Maureen.
Get yourself some Birkenstocks, Maureen.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know what it is, but it sounds awful if you're recommending
you
it.
You don't know what a Birkenstock is?
No.
Maureen, you hang around with so many lesbians and you don't know what a Birkenstock is.
It's a sandal.
But you know what? When you have your lesbian conversation, I remember once in Vienna, they were all...
When you have your lesbian conversation, so for some reason she knew Birkenstocks were lesbian. Go.
No, because like I remember when we were in Vienna, it was like -5. I was in a cocktail dress, fishnet tights and peep-toe shoes. I was with four lesbians, usually, as usual for me, and they were all in jeans, socks and boots. They'd actually dressed for the weather. And they were having a big discussion about what socks go with boots, which obviously I didn't listen to. I channeled out at that point.
I mean, I don't remember. I find that socks just tend to go with boots. My thing about footwear, if we're going to go there, Maureen, okay, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like a cold foot. And it drives me insane when I'm out and about. Do you remember those days? I mean... Back in the day when we used to leave our houses, in the winter when I would see women wearing, I don't know, like slip-on shoes. Slip-on shoes. I mean, what are they about? And no socks. Just bare feet in a shoe when it's like freezing cold. My feet, I was looking, I just can't even comprehend it. It's like, why would you not wear socks? Put some socks on.
I went to an ice bar with peephole shoes and fishnet tights and I had to put a friend's gloves around my toes.
Look, Maureen, sometimes we have these conversations and we're talking about Vienna, it was -5 and you were wearing peep-toe whatever the what sits with fishnets, which absolutely I just couldn't even fathom. Your feet were cold.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But I look nice.
My feet were not cold. And yet, even though we have this conversation where I go, my feet were warm, your feet were cold, my feet were comfortable, your feet were uncomfortable, you're still like, I mean, why would you wear socks and boots? This is the thing that I don't understand, is that I have already established that I am correct in terms of practicality. This is fish fingers all over again. We're really flying by the seat of our pants this week. Now, it's time to head over to the left-hand corner of my screen, on the Zoom. I don't know where she is on your screen, Maureen. Doesn't matter. It's time. Two, ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it. No, no.
No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it. It is Ask Alison. So this week, this is a doozy. I mean, okay, so here we go. My partner wants kids, and I don't. What do I do? So this is a problem that I think a lot of people, you hear this right away and you're like, well, this is a pretty make it or break it. And this is a doozy. This is a doozy. If one person wants kids and the other doesn't, okay. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because this sort of question had never occurred to me until I dated, what was it, my former boyfriend who asked me when we first started dating, do you want kids? And I was like, oh, no. And he was like, okay, great. I don't either, but it's not. And it was the first time I'd ever had that conversation with anyone. And I was like, oh, my God, I am of the age where these are things that you think about now, like immediately. So this is a big one, and it can be a bit of a make it or break it, but please do not abandon all hope. Here are some ideas and some thoughts and some suggestions that I have on this. First off, what is your age? Okay, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to write in and say, but like if you've got some time, I mean, you look, you're in your 20s, you got some time. So maybe don't rush the other person. So if you've got time, have some more discussions. If you don't have time, look, we're still going to go into open discussions. This is what needs to happen. Please go into this conversation without judgment or without arguing. It's really important, I think, to discuss the reasonings or why it is that you want children and why it is maybe your partner doesn't. Because sometimes there are certain factors that we are unaware of, and we need to express everything going through our minds so both people know where they're coming from. Because being a parent, and I mean, I am not a parent, so who am I to talk? But I think being a parent should be a conscious choice as opposed to a biological urge. That is just my opinion. You know, breeding is a part of us, and we're drawn towards that. But I really think people need to, like, take a think about, you know, especially if you've got someone who's antsy about it. I would also suggest, why don't you start speaking to some parents? Some other parents, friends that you might have. And I'm talking parents of children of different ages as well, to give you a full perspective, right? So baby parents, toddler parents, child, teenager parents, so you can get a better idea. The last thing and always that I recommend is to talk to a therapist, because maybe that might help. Maybe there's someone who can help direct the conversation between the two of you and make you realize some things that maybe you haven't on both sides, which might help the situation. Other things that you could possibly do, because I mean, this is the thing. Once you start talking, there are other options out there in regards to children. I mean, maybe you'll both figure out that, you know, maybe you just want to have an older child. You could foster. You can adopt. There are options out there in creating families that aren't your traditional. I don't even like saying that because there is no such thing as traditional anymore. But there are a lot of other options in regards to having kids. But again, it is important to have open discussion, explore all your options. Deep, deep discussions is the key, because this discussion will actually be the foundation and your learning tool for when you have a child and you have to deal with things in regards to them. That's my advice for today.
Alison, very good advice. I think it's kind of a tricky one to approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think even if you think, I'm coming in from it from a different perspective, but sometimes you think you have time, but actually as a woman, guys have time, but I think women, you sort of don't really have time. And if you're in a relationship with somebody who's like, I actually definitely do not want to have children, and you're in your early 30s and you're like, oh, maybe I can persuade him, and you get to like 35 and he's 36 and he's like, no, I told you I don't want to have kids.
Yep.
Then...
Persuasion is wrong. I mean, persuasion is no. Yeah.
Or even if you're in a same-sex relationship, it doesn't matter. If your other partner is like, I've told you I do not want to have children, then you definitely do. Do you want to waste that time when you could be trying to get pregnant, trying to persuade somebody to get...
I think that's a bad idea. I mean, I had a friend in that situation. She wanted kids. He didn't. He already had kids, so he was older than her. He had kids who were teenagers, so he didn't want to go through all that again, which is fair enough. And she thought he was being selfish. And I thought, well, he's just being honest with you.
He's
don't
being
want
honest.
Kids with somebody who doesn't want children, because that's a recipe for disaster.
There's going to be resentment.
I don't understand those men that have a family, leave that family, and then start another family. What is in your brain? Anyway. Let's not go on some moral high ground about it. But apart from anything else, the practicalities, I just cannot even imagine wanting any more children now. I love my children so much, it makes my heart ache. And that's all the energy I have is for those two lovely, beautiful boys. But I do not want any more.
Apart from me.
Well, I've obviously forgotten Maureen. Sorry. I have three beautiful children, two little boys and a grown woman that I have to look after. And
it's a lot.
It's a lot. And I can't take on any more. But anyway, look, it's a tricky one. And very good advice as always, Alison. Thank you so much. Let us find out. What have we been watching on television? What have we been watching on the TV or on the radio, Maureen?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, I'm doing something different this week. So I listened to a great programme called Life Changing on Radio 4. You can find it on BBC Sounds. And it actually features one of our listeners and Patreon followers. It's Grace Spence Green. And the title of her life-changing episode is called A Falling Man Left Me Paralysed. And Grace, if you're listening, I was in total awe listening to you. And I mean, I've been going on about I've got problems and I've been moaning. But I mean, honestly, the dignity and I can't even explain it. I was just in total awe of listening to that interview with you. Amazeballs, basically. I just was like, I would not have the good grace or I think the bravery or the decency that you have. And I was absolutely in awe. And I would recommend anyone listening to it. Because, you know, we all have our problems. And then you listen to someone else, and you're like, actually, it's nothing compared to what other people have had to go through. And she's dealing with her situation a lot better than I am, I have to say. So that's on Radio 4, BBC Sounds, called Life Changing. She's talking to Jane Garvey. And it's A Falling Man Left Me Paralysed. I think the title speaks for itself. Me and Jen obviously knew about this because Grace wrote to us. She's one of the few listeners to our unsuccessful podcast, one of the very few avid listeners to that one. And she actually wrote to us to say that somehow, and I don't know how this happened, she's probably on drugs, that we were actually chewing her up. I think that was the morphine. And she was listening to us, and it was one of the most moving, wasn't it, Jen? It was one of the most moving messages we've ever had.
Do you know what? And I've thought often about Grace, and a couple of times I was like, I need to find her email so I can just email and see how she's doing. And I could never, because she contacted through my website, which is a different email address, and I just don't understand how to use that. I thought you could just search names, but because I couldn't remember Grace's name, I was like, oh, I'll search under this or I'll search under that, and I just couldn't find her email. And then out of the blue, Grace emailed us again a few weeks ago to say that she was doing really well, that she was now that she's now a qualified doctor. I mean, like, oh, look, I'm not going to say any more. Just listen to the show on Radio 4. But she's an incredible woman. And we are very, very proud and delighted that she is one of our patrons. And we're sending all our love to you, Grace. So, but do listen to that radio on BBC Sounds. You can catch it.
What have you been watching, Jen? Not much, probably.
So I've been watching Cobra Kai. I admit, now I can admit this on the podcast, that as a child, I was a big fan of Karate Kid. That's one of the many films that as children we watched over and over and over again. Sweep the leg, but sensei, no mercy. I've got all of the quotes in my head.
This is a bit of a body bag.
Anyway, I'm
so impressed by that.
Yeah. Wax on, wax off, up, down, paint the fence. Anyway, that's Mr. Miyagi, by the way. So I was like, I must.
Dad's always good at accents, aren't you, Jen?
Well, both Jen and I are master of accents. If I know, Jen is good, but yeah.
When you have to tell people who the person is you're doing an impression of, that's never a good sign, is it? But anyway, look, I got onto it. For those of you that don't know the story of Karate Kid, I am not going to tell it to you because we haven't got time. But needless to say, it's through the eyes of Johnny, who is the baddie in Karate Kid, who's part of the Cobra Kai, no mercy strain of karate. And we see that Ralph Macchio, who is Karate Kid, and Johnny, their lives have gone in very different directions. Johnny is now basically drinking a lot, seems to be eating a lot of bologna fried with hot sauce on it. Whatever he's eating doesn't look nutritionally. There's no nutritional value, actually, to anything that he eats. And his life is awful. And Ralph Macchio has this really successful car dealership. He's got posters of himself everywhere. That seems to be a thing in America, doesn't it? With estate agents and people that own car dealerships, that they have big posters of themselves everywhere. We don't have that in this country, do we? Or do we? Do we?
I don't think so.
We do. I think I've never seen an estate agent going, John could sell you a house. Do we have that? Maybe we do. I've never seen it. We don't have the same sort of thing going on. But anyway, they do in Cobra Kai. And we just see how they've both got children, what their children are doing, how their lives are. And then Johnny sets up this new karate dojo. And this makes Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid, very cross because he's like, no, not Cobra Kai again. And then, am I selling it? Because I dropped out very early on. So I realised that I just didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't care about these two characters. I didn't care about anything, really. And turns out I'm not that into karate. So, because I'm a 47-year-old woman. But a lot of people are enjoying it. And if you want some bubblegum good times, then this is the show for you. I don't know how, but there are already 3 seasons of it. I don't know. It feels like it only started last year. They went, oh, let's just bang out 3 seasons. And they're there for you waiting on Netflix. So if that's your bag, indulge. Alison, what about the horror stories?
Well, I had a horror movie picked out, but Danny and I actually watched a movie just not last night, the night before, which has changed the movie that I'm recommending. I thought we watched it on Amazon. It might be Netflix. It's out there some on either one of those. I can't find it on my phone right now. Anyway, it is called The Children.
Oh, God, not another kiddie one.
It is a British film, 2008. And just to stick with the theme of, like, you know, do you want kids, do you don't? You know, in this horror, a family turns on itself in a vicious fight for survival as two sisters and their family celebrate New Year in a remote house. When the children get ill with a mysterious sickness, they lash out and try to kill their family. It's great, guys. Like, I'm
oh
just
my
saying.
God,
yeah.
Alison, that sounds so bleak.
It was thrilling. It was absolutely thrilling.
It's on Amazon, by the way.
Amazon. Great. Yeah. Yeah. It was, it's 2008. Don't let that throw you. Honestly, we couldn't take our eyes off the screen. And I watch stuff like this all the time. Couldn't believe I've never even heard of this film before, to be honest with you, until 2 days ago. And it's British and it's fantastic. And I just, yeah. I mean, if you're contemplating children, I'm just saying, just watch it. Just watch it. Just take a minute.
This might put you off. I think anything like Pet Sematary, this one, Children of the Corn, where The Omen, Rosemary's Baby. I mean, like, all of them are when something that's innocent and beloved and you know, turns psychotic is very, very disturbing, isn't it? It's like triple disturbing.
It's always kids too, because they, you know, when you see in the films, they always see the ghosts. They always find the disease first. They, you know, it's always the children.
It's always the, it's making me have a Gonna have to keep an eye on my two, actually.
I'm just saying, don't let them near a Ouija board. Don't ever.
Yeah.
I know, Jen. Jen's like, damn it, I gotta take
that
Ouija. Kids, give me the Ouija.
Do you know, my mum claimed she had the sixth sense to a friend of mine. I didn't hear this. And she said, I don't think my mum's got the sixth sense. She went, yeah, your mum says she could read the Luigi board.
Oh my God, well, that's classic.
The Luigi board. Luigi
board. It's probably a clue.
Not the Mario board, the Luigi board.
Brilliant.
Oh dear. Well, Alison, as always, I will not be watching that, but thank you very much for that wonderful recommendation. I know we do have horror fans that want to keep abreast of all of the horror films that are out there. There seem to be a lot. There seem to be an endless supply for all you horror buffs. Thank you, Alison. And now it's going to be Maureen's cultural corner. I haven't started it, Maureen.
Hello.
I'm going to start that again. And it is the corner that is cultured. And it is in now my left-hand corner because for some reason Alison, who's in my left-hand corner, has moved and is now in my right-hand corner.
I like jumping around. I like jumping around.
This is a non-visual medium and nobody can see this. Maureen, what are you doing?
Well, to keep up with the radio theme, I'm talking about radio drama. I don't know if any of you listen to radio drama.
No, because I find it awful.
Oh, do you?
I find most radio drama makes my teeth itch. Sometimes when I hear it on Radio 4, I think the acting is so bad I want to smash my face into a wall.
Well, let me see if I can give you some examples of to kind of disabuse you of that. So obviously radio drama was very big in the 20s and 40s, and then obviously as TVs came in the 50s, it kind of declined. The BBC is the main producer, really, of radio drama. And if you want to listen to any, if you're not in Britain, you can go to the World Service Radio Drama and do that. So I'm going to talk about three that you might find interesting or you may not. So probably the most famous radio drama of all time is Orson Welles from 1938, when he put on War of the Worlds. And how he did it as if... it was a normal programme of music and it was just being interrupted by news bulletins. And it was done so well that apparently people really thought the world was being invaded by Martians and were beginning to panic. And if you listen to it, you can listen to it on YouTube. He does a big intro at the beginning, but apparently quite a lot of people missed it because they were listening to a big popular programme before. So all they could hear was the music and then you get, oh, just, you know, he did it like... And Orson Welles wasn't famous then, because as soon as you hear his voice now, you're like, well, that's clearly Orson Welles. But like they, you know, and the way he does it, it's very, very clever. And they didn't have adverts because it was Mercury Theatre. They didn't have adverts for the first 40 minutes. So it didn't seem like a proper... people really believed it was true. So it's just an interesting way. I mean, Orson Welles is an interesting creative anyway, how you can take something and just spin it and just change it completely and make it very different. And it was such a success that the media were outraged. That's how he became famous, was through this War of the Worlds on the radio. So it's worth a listen. My favourite radio drama, and I would encourage people to listen to this, you can buy the DVDs, it's also on YouTube, it's A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Do either of you know it?
Look, I'm sure people are going to be atting me about this, but I haven't read it.
Well, it's fine.
I haven't read it. I've never seen the movie. I don't know anything about it.
You don't need to read the book. You don't need to see the movie. All you need to do is listen to the radio series.
Okay.
The great thing about radio drama is, A, it's cheap. Actors love it because they don't have to learn the lines. All you've got to do is make sure you don't make a noise when you turn the pages. But also you can create these great worlds. This is science fiction. And it's all in your imagination if you've got very good actors, which they do here. And the story is about Arthur Dent and his friend Ford Prefect, who's an alien, and they just manage to get onto a spaceship as the Earth is being destroyed, and it follows their adventures with a depressed robot called Marvin. And it is very, very funny. It's absolutely brilliant radio drama, because obviously radio drama is all about the voices, and they've got loads of great actors, and it's really enjoyable. I would definitely recommend that.
Where is that, Maureen?
You can either buy the DVDs or you can actually hear it on YouTube. But I spent a 9-hour bus journey to Dundee when I was young, and I listened to it. Saved my life on that very long journey, listening to that show. And the other one is current. It's the Charles Paris Mysteries. There's currently one on Radio 4. I think it's until May, to mid-May. And it's basically Bill Nye, who doesn't love Bill Nye, as a louche actor who always ends up having to solve a murder wherever he goes. And it's very, I mean, Bill Nye is one of the best comic actors
I've heard this
in
one.
The country.
I know how much you love it. We've talked about this before.
His comic timing, if you want to listen how to make a sentence funny, just listen to Bill Nye. His comic timing is superb. And also, if you've ever done acting or you've been around actors, it's a great piss take of actors. So in the one that's currently being played on Radio 4 now, A Doubtful Death, he's being involved in an equity minimum, detextualised, physical, immersive, site-specific reimagining of Hamlet in an old boatyard in Oxford. So you can imagine, and he's an old school actor who likes a drink and a fried breakfast, but it's very, very funny. It's they're great. So I would recommend those.
Great.
And you can buy the previous episodes on CDs, if you still have a CD player, I do, via Amazon, of course, or wherever you get your CDs.
Wherever you get your CDs. Thank you, Maureen.
You probably don't, but anyway.
Thank you, Maureen. Wow. Wherever you get your cassette tapes. Maureen, thank you very much. Those are very good recommendations. And we seem to be very, that was actually on the same sort of vibe as the earlier when we were talking about what, you know, you made it all about. Very impressed, Maureen, is what I'm trying to
see. What I did there?
Absolutely, yeah, see you did. You're very much on brand. Well done. We are, again, nearing the end of the podcast. Boo, hoo, hoo, sad, sad face. Don't be sad face. We'll be back next week, face. Yeah. So, come on. What is the show called? Oh, yeah, I've got it. We've been talking bollocks. Yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that?
Let's not leave today's podcast without talking to Jen and figuring out, Jen, I mean, I think I have an idea of what might be getting your goat this week, but I'm going to let you go into it. Jen, what the hell's getting your goat?
I'll tell you what's been getting my goat. Well, aside from the vertigo, which obviously was debilitating, I have had to do DIY for the last week. And are you aware of this thing? Were you
wrong person to ask,
yeah,
Jen.
I know Maureen isn't. the thing I love about Maureen is the amount of different men she can get to do her DIY is incredible. Oh, I've just got so-and-so to come in and do such and such. I'm like, who are all these men? Sadly, not in our house. It's very much estrogen heavy. So we've been decorating. And listen, in principle, I have no problem with doing decorating because I think, you know, if you can do it yourself, why the bloody hell not? But I am the most impractical woman in the world. I cannot seem to do anything without making a complete pig's ear of it. I'd love to be one of those lezzers that just is like, yeah, don't worry about me. I'll put the radiator on. Stand aside. Those shelves are, I'll put the shelves up. I've got a tool belt. Also, I mean, listen, I'm really digging in. I'm very deep into this stereotype, but I want to be that lesbian that go, I'll get under your car, mate. Let's have a little look at the oil funnel filter. Jaxi exhaust pipe. I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I've got no idea. I couldn't even get the lid off the tin of paint. And Chloe was like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm trying to do that with a knife. I bent the knife. She just came along, butched up with a flipping screwdriver, boff, out in one go. That's how you do it, darling. I didn't even know you had to mix the paint. Look, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just an absolute... I said, why is this white paint yellow? She's like, you're supposed to mix it. Anyway, that's what's got my goat, is that I've got to this age and I have absolutely zero practical skills. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The day Armageddon happens, no one's going to, they're going to be, leave the stand-up comedian, let her die. In fact, we can live off her for a couple of days. There's no need to keep her alive. I've got nothing. If we had to start from scratch, what would I do? I couldn't do anything. Jen, could you just help me put a nail in? Well, I could, but I might lose a finger, or you might lose a finger, even if you're 3 feet away from me. I've got nothing to offer. I want to be... Can you learn these things? Because I can't seem to... Even when people show me, I can't learn it. Any advice?
Yeah, there's definitely online courses you can take for that, Jen, if you really want to learn some more skills about... Or just do what Chloe tells you. Just do what Chloe tells you.
Yeah.
Or just ask someone.
Oh, sometimes you can't, though. Sometimes you have to do stuff on your own, Maureen. Sometimes you just have to, like, sometimes your bank balance means that you've got to paint your own son's flipping... By the way, I did. I painted it. I painted their room.
Maybe it was inhaling all the paint that gave you vertigo, babes. Maybe you should throw that in the mix. I can't paint anymore.
Yeah, that's the one. It was emotionless.
I gotcha.
Pretty hard to bring that one in. But anyway, look, I did it. And I did some of the cutting in, not all of it, because it was appalling, and I painted yellow paint on the ceiling that is actually white. But I did the middle bit, and that's also tricky, isn't it? The middle of the wall. So what did you do, Jen? I just did the middle bit. Just the middle bit. That was me.
Me and the kids did the middle bit.
Yeah, we just did the middle bit. Chloe's there. And Chloe's like, you know, she's like half the size. She's like, Jen, I can't get the ceiling. I went, do you want me to? I'll hold you, love. I'll hold you when you get up there.
Let me get a ladder for you. Yeah.
Anyway, has it got my goat? I mean, it's more just a disappointment in my own. I'm just disappointed in me. That's what that is. And I suppose that's a good way to end this podcast, isn't it?
Walking away with you being disappointed in yourself? Absolutely not, Jen. I'm sure you learned a lot from this one DIY experience that now you have some knowledge.
Not to do it again, probably.
Thank you, Maureen. I think that's probably true. If you've got any numbers for DIY, just flick them over to me, will you? Women talking bollocks. Thanks so much for listening. Please do continue to like and subscribe on our Acast page, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you enjoyed today's episode,
leave a wonderful message saying how much you enjoy our dulcet tones, particularly mine.
And we're also on Patreon now, so we're going to be sharing extra content and we'd love you to join us there.
Join us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.